There's a famous scene in Conan the Barbarian, the 1982 Arnold Schwarzenegger film, where Conan and a few of his Mongol buddies are sitting around a campfire at night, shooting the breeze, when out of nowhere, the Mongol chief demands to know, "What is best in life?" One of the Mongols pipes up, "The open steppe, fleet horse, falcons at your wrist, and the wind in your hair." "Wrong," shouts the chief. He asks the same question of Conan, who comes back with the classic answer, "Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, hear the lamentation of the women." Cheers all around. It's a great scene. It's also a quick summary of one of the oldest debates in political philosophy over the precise character of the state of nature. The first Mongol takes the side of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who argued that life in the state of nature is basically good. A man might be solitary, but he is free to pursue his basic needs and desires, and he is happy. In contrast, Conan's view is tribal, dramatic, and violent. In this, he's largely channeling Thomas Hobbes, who saw the state of nature as a situation of constant danger, and life itself as solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. It doesn't take sophisticated political theory or historical anthropology to see that Hobbes hit closer to the mark than Rousseau. Anyone who's ever lived with roommates knows this intuitively. Roommate life, especially in university, is the state of nature writ domestic. The dishes pile up in the sink, the bathroom never gets cleaned, the garbage is never taken out, and everyone ends up shopping and cooking and cleaning for themselves. Bedroom doors are shut, stereos cranked. Factions arise, pettiness abounds, with communal living always on the verge of breaking into open hostilities. Living with university roommates is the closest to raw barbarism most of us will ever experience. As many scholars have noted, Hobbes's state of nature essentially describes a collective action problem in which a group of individuals would be collectively better off if they were to cooperate, but where they are unable to do so because of the logical structure of their situation. A classic example is the so-called prisoner's dilemma, which imagines a scenario where two conspirators are arrested and held in separate cells. Each is offered the same deal. If you squeal on your colleague, and he keeps quiet, you'll get a short sentence while he gets the book thrown at him. But if you keep quiet and he squeals, the opposite sentencing will result. The optimal situation is thus for both of you to keep quiet and receive moderate sentences. But because of the way the situation is set up, no matter what your colleague does, you're better off squealing. This is the general structure of all collective action problems, from roommates leaving their dishes in the sink, to the refusal of drivers to zipper merge when two lanes go down to one, to the Cold War arms race between the US and the Soviet Union. In every case, the socially optimal scenario is for everyone to cooperate by giving up a small bit of freedom or advantage in exchange for improved group benefit. And yet, it's always in each participant's narrow self-interest to defect from the cooperative arrangement, no matter what the other members of the arrangement choose to do. The resulting equilibrium is that everyone ends up worse off than if they cooperated. There are more dishes, more traffic, more nuclear weapons than anyone wants. The key point is that behavior that is collectively self-defeating in this way is often privately or individually rational. And this is important because it means that the problem with the state of nature is not that people hate one another, that they're irrational, or that they're morally misguided. The problem with people in the state of nature is that they are in a position where, though it would be collectively optimal, there are numerous obstacles to cooperation.